Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I am Leona Abraham Brando, host for Blog Talk Radio, Shedding Light. I want to welcome our weekly guest once again, Mariam Jacobs, psychosocial therapist from the Netherlands, back to speak on many topics involving damaging effects on incarcerated individuals subjected to inappropriate treatment and inhumane conditions in the U.S. prisons. But I focus a lot on the incarcerated. I want everyone to know as well that Ms. Jacobs is not only a psychosocial therapist that shares her philosophies in the injustices and the damaging effects of the incarcerated, but she also works with those in the communities in other areas as well. But in addition to her talking about deeper justice, which causes behind and not the crime itself, Ms. Jacobs will also additionally speak on the corporations and how they play a major role in mass incarcerations in the U.S. Criminal justice reform in the United States is long overdue, and our guests will discuss why and where it needs to start. So once again, let's welcome our guest, our Wednesday guest every week, and I thank her all the time because she's taken some valuable time out of the day to come on the air and to discuss these issues and to bring awareness to all who are unaware of what goes on in our criminal justice system. So, Ms. Jacobs, how are you today?
I am very fine, Leona. Thank you. How are
you?
Yeah,
very good. And I'm thanking you once again for coming on with us. I know it's very difficult, and I understand you have even more on your plate these days, but I thank you so much for coming on these Wednesdays to bring some of your insight into some of these issues that are going on inside the incarcerated areas of our system, the prisons. So once again, Mariam, I will ask you to just introduce yourself to any new guests that are or new people that are listening in.
Yes, my name is Mariam Jacobs. I live in the Netherlands. And in my country, I work with incarcerated people and people who are released out of the system. I also work in community with people who have autism or other disorders, and I always approach people from my deeper justice view. And I'm graduating for my master philosophy, which I find very important because for my master I did research in the foundation of the United States prison system. So I wanted to know what the structures are, where it's built on, and how it's possible that we have mass incarceration in this time in a Western democracy. I wanted the answers.
I interviewed last week a Reverend Emmanuel Hutchinson, who had obviously listened to your interview and was in full agreement with what you were saying, and he was impressed with it. You mentioned also you work with the autistic, and that's a serious issue, too, in the United States. There are many who have this autism. Whether they are in the prisons, I'm not quite familiar with and I'm not sure of. But can you talk a little bit about some of the work you do actually with the autistic children or adults?
Yeah, they are adults, and most of them have autism. Some of them have ADD or ADHD. In my approach, what I do is that I will look into the troubles they experience in daily life because of their autism. But finally, I go deeper with them and I look behind their label autism. And most of the times there are completely different causes that gives them trouble in life. For instance, I am mentoring somebody since 6 months, and he was troubling with autism. But when I did some sessions with him, we found out that he has a traumatized youth with his father, and that gives him much more trouble than the autism. So what I see in my work with these people is, in fact, the same as what I see with incarcerated people when I look behind these labels and meet the person behind that label, that there are so much, that the causes of troubled behavior or sadness or whatever do not lie in the labels, but they go deeper.
For those in the audience who are not familiar with ADD, it's attention deficit disorder, and ADHD is attention hyperactivity, I believe, deficit disorder, isn't that, or is it hyper H?
Yeah, it's a fact, it's the same as ADD, but then you have to hyper with it.
Yeah.
And it has to do with there are more difficulties to give structure to one's life and to keep appointments and all that, because I don't know how to say it in English, but in the brain we have this area which we use for planning, looking forward, looking backwards, bringing structure into our daily lives. And people with autism or ADD, this goes slower. The brain works slower. So in first period of the treatment, I help them to get the structure. But after that, most of the times there is more at hand than only that label, and then we go deeper. And in fact, I do the same work as what I do with incarcerated people, and that's what I find very interesting, because it shows me that we always have to look further behind labels, and we live in a community and in a society where we like to label each other. But it's, I think, a challenge to go behind that label and meet a real person, because that's real connection. And that's, for me, the foundation, whether I work inside prisons or inside community or whatever. Because that's where the healing takes. Yeah.
And that's where you go into the deeper justice, even with that, because a lot of, like you say, a lot of them are labeled in autistic children and adults in those areas.
Yeah, you know, autism is also a way of life. It doesn't change. So, you know, you cannot heal it. So it becomes a way of life, which is not wrong or bad or difficult. It's because society is very harsh and very speedy, that people with autism experience more trouble, because sometimes... I hear some noises.
Sign in here, put up your Wi-Fi there, and we'll have your PC ready for all you plan to do.
What was this?
Use your voice or the keyboard along the way.
I'm sorry. Continue to talk, Marion. This is the other computer that I just pulled up. Just
click the little microphone icon towards the bottom of your screen. If you need an assistive screen reader, press the Windows, Control, and Enter keys at the same time
Okay, I'm sorry. I was resetting it to the original state, and it just came on.
Okay.
But,
I think the main thing that I want to say is that I think it's very important to look further than what we see on the surface. And that counts especially for people who are incarcerated, that we do look at the crime, but mostly behind the crime, because that's where it starts. I call it a web of influence. You know, we all are embedded in a web of influences from experiences in ourselves, in the environment. A lot happens in a person's life. I have now 12 clients every week, and they all have their own life story. They all could write their own book, I could say that. And that also counts for people who are incarcerated. You know, they did not fall out of the sky and committed a crime. A lot has happened before that moment that people committed a crime. And it doesn't make the crime less bad, but it makes it more understandable, you know, because I am not in a position to judge people in prison. That's a position that for the judge to do. I'm not in court. I work with the incarcerated, so on a human level, and I am not interested in judging people, because I never can say what I would do in situations where they have been into. It's very easy for me to judge them because I have never committed a crime, but I don't know what I would do if my youth would be traumatized or if I would have a serious disorder or psychiatric problems. It's very easy to judge it, but it's a challenge to go beyond that without forgetting the crime, but look at the crime without judgment, because that's where the healing takes place.
Exactly. You know, it's sad when I think about it, and I was listening to the news yesterday, last night, and they were talking about the Marathon bombers, the brothers. One of them was killed. The other one is serving his time and on death row, and they're trying to reduce the sentence. I won't say reduce it. They're trying to use the alternative of life without parole, which to me, both of them are death sentences. But they are so bent on, so many people in the country are so bent on seeing this young man executed. And they said he was only 19 years old when he participated in it, and they said because of his older brother, I guess he was doing it for that reason. And the brother is dead now, so they should reconsider, and whatever it is this young man is willing to do, whether he wants the life without or whether he wants the death penalty, again, they're both death sentences as far as I'm concerned, but they should not be so bent on trying to execute him, because that goes to show you just how people in society have that same tendency for murder, that same tendency. And they look at it differently. They think because of this person being wrong that they have the right to make that decision or to want that decision, when in fact what you just said is so true. We don't know what we would do in someone's situation, regardless of what it may be. We don't know how we would react.
Yeah, and I think, you know, when somebody commits a crime, they have to do time, but I think the question should not be if somebody has to do time, but on what way is somebody going to do time? And we know that sentences in the United States are very long, very harsh, and are useless because nothing happens in the prison that leads to rehabilitation. There might be some exceptions because every state is different, of course, but on the whole, you do have mass incarceration, and there is a lot of violence in your country. There's, you know, sometimes you ask me about the difference with the Netherlands or with Northern Europe. We do have violence here too, but it's so much less than what I see in the United States. Even the police is much more violent than here in the Netherlands. Here in the Netherlands, the police is there to protect the people, and we are not afraid when we are hauled by the police. And I think in your country, I would be afraid. And there is, of course, you know, what we talked about, I think was last week or 2 weeks ago, maybe, I don't know, that we talked about, there is this tendency to glorify violence. And I think that's also connected to this feeling of retaliation, hatred, this endless cycle of violence and hate. And that, in the end, that leads to nowhere, because that's why you do have mass incarceration. That's why you do have a high rate of recidivism. Prison reform, in my opinion, prison reform should have to start in community with a mindset, a change of mindset, that people take care of each other, that people try to understand each other. Instead of this retaliation, this quickly judging people, pointing at who is good or who is bad, because that's another thing that I see so many times when people, American people communicate with each other about, it's going about, you know, being good or behaving good or behaving bad. But, you know, the word good and the word bad are values. So we cannot say what a good person is. Every human being exists from a good part and a bad part. That's simply human nature. And we learn from the bad parts. And it's not, I don't mean to say that crimes are okay, but what I mean to say is that we have to take lessons out of our crimes in order to do it better in the future, so that we are able to develop ourselves while making mistakes. And I think that's what I'm missing in society too much.
You know, I remember one time I mentioned to a guard years ago, a CO, this was like 20 years ago. And I mentioned to the guard that, you know, as a social worker, we try to help dysfunctional people and families and individuals and adolescents. We try to help them to function on a normal level. And we do that by, you know, showing them that they can relate to us, they can talk to us, that we're willing to listen and try to help them to change. And this CEO turned around and said, but we're not social workers. You know, and to me, it's regardless of whether you're a social worker or anything else, it's about humanity. You know, just having, just seeing somebody that's in need of help, you know, whether they're a victim or whether they are an offender, there's a reason behind a lot of these things. And rather than look for retaliation and vengeance upon somebody you don't really know, help them. Try to find out why they did what they did. Try to find out both sides to the story. You know, try to look at these things. But as you mentioned, in this country, people are so focused on revenge and retaliation. And I'll tell you, even with racial issues, because I come from a very multicultural family background, and I have all white and black and red and beige and brown and Chinese and Asian, everything. But we were taught never to judge anyone. We were taught to be neutral in situations we were not familiar with. And we were taught not to make fun of anybody that was different from us. And yet we live in a society that that's all it's about. You know, if you hurt somebody that's of a one race, you have all that whole entire race pretty much against you or against that individual. And that's what goes on in this country. You mentioned the police, law enforcement. The majority of law enforcement were military. They were trained by the U.S. government to go into other countries. And what we see happening in this country is exactly what's happened in other countries, perhaps much, much worse, but they still have that evil, that violent, that vengeful mentality in their own country of the United States of America.
Yeah, it's that judging part, and it's, I think, what's very dangerous in the prisons, and what you see is, I think about it when I think about the example that you give from your work as a social worker and what the correctional, what the officer said, is that I think the most important element of the mindset in order to get prison reform is that you have to start to look at imprisoned people as the human beings that they are. They are not a label. They are human beings. And but because these people are turned into labels or objects, all these things that happen in prison can happen, like the beatings, like raping women and all that. And it's all known, you know. There is so much articles about it. There are even body cam, you know, footage of body cams you can see on YouTube. It's all free available, so everybody knows what is happening. Still, there is no change because the mindset that hasn't changed yet. When I sit across an incarcerated individual, it doesn't matter what he's done. I work with people who did a robbery, but also with people who murdered people, all kinds of people. But when I sit across this person, then I sit across another human being, and we have a conversation. And he has a story like I have a story. And he has a background like I have a background. And he has been born one day like I have been born one day. So we are, in a way, all the same. And this boundary between incarcerated and not incarcerated is, in fact, in a way, a fiction. There are human beings in prisons. And that's what people should have to start looking at. Because if you look at incarcerated people as the human beings that they are, then there will be no beatings, there will be no rape, there will be no other crimes committed inside the prison system. And people become healed, because what incarcerated people say in the United States, if you treat us like monsters, then we become the monsters that you create. And that's what you see happening.
You know, when you mention monsters that are created, and I look at all of these law enforcement, these prison officials, these CEOs that are myself, in my own philosophy, are becoming monsters because we, the people of this country, are allowing it. They don't, a lot of people don't realize that they are doing the exact same thing and worse than many of the incarcerated in mass incarcerations in the United States. They are doing so much worse. But because of their union being so powerful and the people, the citizens of the United States, siding with law enforcement and prison officials and CEOs because they wear a title or uniform, they're creating monsters themselves. And they're going to become victims of those monsters as well. Because it may have started out with people of color, but as we see in in the United States of America right now, as we see with so many people, even in the community, they are also being affected by the brutality of the law enforcement. And those in the prisons, there are also so many loved ones of the incarcerated Caucasians and advocates that see it themselves. So what they thought at one time was okay because it was only affecting those who weren't connected with them, it's now starting to hit home. It's starting to hit home with a lot of their loved ones, regardless of race, regardless of gender, regardless of culture. It's starting to hit them as well as those out in the streets. That's why the public needs to start doing something before it's too late. They need to get involved.
Yes, and I think the power lies in the communities. It's you know, if you have to wait for politics to make changes, then you can wait forever. Because politics is connected to economy, to the corporations. And the corporations, they in fact make the law. Politicians need huge amounts of money for their elections, and corporations are willing to pay that money. And in exchange of that, corporations make the law. And they make the law not in the benefit for the people, but for their own benefit. That's why you have this high difference between the high class and the poor people. That gap has become larger. You have all these homeless people. You have a lot of poor people. You have people who work two jobs but don't have a home. They live in their cars. You have all these huge problems in the United States. And sometimes I call the United States of America the corporal states of America, because they are, in fact, the ones who decide for all the people how they should live. And people have to become aware of the fact that they live in the land of the free, but they are incarcerated by themselves. They are incarcerated by the corporations and the elite. And once they become aware, then you can organize protests, peaceful protests, in order to change and be peaceful, disobedient towards this, you know, incarceration in the streets. Mass incarceration and the prison system is only a mirror of what's happening in society. And I think a lot of people feel abandoned by politics, no matter where, if they are Democratic or Republican. I think the bottom line is that that both parties abandon the people in the communities and they choose for the money of the corporations. A lot of ex-politicians work as lobbyists for the corporations. So this corporations and politics is far too entangled and intertwined. And that's why you also don't have a decent social system. And I'm not talking about communism. I talk about a social system where everybody is secured of their basic needs, like having a home, having a decent health care, having food. That's the basis what we need to function. And that's missing in the United States. So if you live in the streets, it's very harsh to survive without this social system. So you get more people who commit a crime, who might rob a bank or a store, because simply they have no money. They end up in the prisons. So you see that it's all linked, it's all connected, and that's what I call the web of influence. All these issues on political level, economy, the prison system, it's all linked together. And I think if that doesn't change and people are not going to stand up, then you have a United States in decline. Because the politicians, they are always busy with wars out on the other side of the ocean. The military is the biggest of the world. It costs millions of dollars. It's a privatized military. So going to war is, in fact, also doing business. You know, they can talk about bringing democracy, but you see what happened in Iraq. You saw what happened in Vietnam. You saw what happened now in Afghanistan. Those countries are broken and there is no democracy. It's all one hopeless, it's all hopeless in these countries. But a lot of money has been made and by the privatized military. And that's where tax money is going to, instead of building a social system for their own citizens, instead of building a good infrastructure, because that's also in decline. And all these things, tax money should go to the communities, not to the military, for other countries to fight.
But
they can do it.
I believe it.
Yeah, and they can do that. That's what I wanted to add. They can do that because they keep the people afraid. There is a lot of fear in communities, fear of each other, fear of other races. We carry guns because we have to protect ourselves, and we protect ourselves from other people who also carry guns to protect themselves. That's also an endless cycle. So there is a lot of fear, and fear makes people divided. And when people are divided, then the corporations and the elite are secure that there will be no protest and no uniting of people. So it's a very smart game. I said before that racism might stem from partly stem from the history of slavery, but it also is a very smart tool for corporations and for the elite, because racism keeps people divided, and for as long people are afraid for each other and fight each other, they will not stand up against the real enemy, and that's the elite.
You know, this is I won't say right now, I won't call it racism, because it's now hitting all races, including the Caucasian. But one thing I will say is the United States has gone in and gotten themselves in other people's business in other countries so that they can show their power. But what's happening now, other countries have actually said it. If this country is attacked, it won't be from outside. It will be from within. We see right now what's going on in our own government, in the United States of America. We see the Republicans and Democrats going at it. They don't care about what the situation is. They are determined they're not going to work together, especially the Republicans with the Democrats. So who's benefiting and who's hurting? The very people of this country that this government is supposed to be protecting and helping are the ones that are suffering, because these two parties are like children. They're going back and forth with one another. But then again, you had that insurgent that happened in January, where the Capitol was attacked by its own in this country. And look at what happens now. The President of the United States says he will not use his executive powers to make these people that caused it and make the former president pay for what he did. So what happens in a case like that? The elite, like you say, the corporations, the powerful, even the Republicans, they're the ones that have the stronghold, because they're the ones that seem to be aggressive in the current presidency. The current government is, they're passive. I mean, they're doing very little to nothing about it. Well, this goes on even in our system, in the government, the state governments. The state governments, they try to make positive changes, even in the criminal justice reform. With these prisons, they try to do away with solitary. They try to do away with restrictive housing. They try to do away with end life without parole. They're trying to do all this. But as soon as a few constituencies go off and recruit others to go off, our legislative members back away from what they're fighting so hard for. And it's all because of fear. It's fear not of the incarcerated, but fear of the constituents in the communities, that they're not going to get votes. So it's all about votes. It's all about power and fame. It's not anything to do with humanity or anything to do with logic. And that's the sad thing about it, too.
Yeah, and the last thing you said is that example shows that the system, the prison system, is in fact an extension of the system that you see in community, because the prison system is also based on power, hierarchy, fear, punishment. And in fact, you see the same system back in the streets. So incarceration starts, in fact, in the streets, and people have to become aware of that. And they have to become aware more that politicians don't work in the benefit for the people. They work in the benefit for themselves. And
this
that's the whole thing. Yeah, and that's why I always talk about that if you want to have a change, then it starts with the mindset. It really starts with the mindset. Why would why is fear needed? Why are all these wars needed? You are a safe country. The last war you had in your own country was the Civil War, and you had this one attack. You don't know as a country what it means when your cities are bombed, when you lose your family. My family, for my mom is 93 years old. She talks about sometimes about World War II. She knows what it means to be bombed, to hear the planes coming, and what the devastation does. In the United States, people don't know that because the wars are always fought in other countries. You don't know what the people from Afghanistan have been gone through, or the people in Iraq, or the people in Vietnam, because it wasn't in your country, it was in another country. You see,
exactly.
and now there is this tension with China. You know, the troops now are back from Afghanistan. So is China the next one in line? And it's only to want for this feeling to have world power. And mass incarceration mirrors it. It reflects these mechanisms. That's what I believe in.
I believe the same. You know, and it's, as far as China goes, the United States, I know, is not going to mess with China, because China is up there with the United States now, and China will not tolerate. So I think a lot of talk may be out there, but I don't think nothing will be done. And I think the same way with a lot of these countries that were at one time were at ends with one another. I think a lot of these countries overseas are now looking at joining forces. And they're actually doing the right thing, because that's the only way that they're going to save their countries. And that's the only way that they're going to survive all of this injustice that's going on in their countries as well. A lot of children are being affected. A lot of women are being affected by all of this. And I'm sorry, but in the United States, if they can't even look at their criminal justice system, if they're going to be that harsh on the people that have made a mistake or that are wrongfully convicted, or the people that have served 25 years or more, the people that have been kept in solitary confinement for years, if they don't have any consideration or any compassion for the injustices that are going on in the penal system, then they can't care for their own citizens of the United States. And I think with these corporations, this is what's happening, because they don't have to worry about these people. Just throw them in prison, get them away, and then maybe we can take over the entire country, just the elite. And that's what's going to happen if people in the communities don't stop making efforts to stop all of this. And a lot of them, they don't want to, they figure they don't have to do anything because other people are doing it for them. But that's not so. If we all felt that way, nothing would be done. But if we don't do something quickly, before we know it, we're not going to have a country. It's only going to be the elite, those who are big main corporations. We're going to be put in a little box and put away, or they're going to reinstate the death penalty in all the states, and it's only going to be the elite that are going to be left. We live in a very injustice and very cruel, a very evil country, and people have got to see it. Because it hasn't affected them yet, they don't think it's going to happen to them. But I see it all the time. I not only keep in Bible scriptures, I keep in world news, I keep in local news, I keep state news, I keep in all of these. And I'm constantly talking to others from other countries. And I've been to 11 third world countries, no longer called third world, because a lot of them are coming up in the world. So the United States doesn't have the power they think they had at one time. It's no longer there. But yet, The people of this country have not grown. And that's the thing that has to happen. We all have to grow. And we all have to see that now is the time to make a difference.
Yeah, and I think that because, you know, it's so sad. I mean, the United States is such a beautiful country. And when I was in Florida, I've been talking to a lot of people citizens, and we had wonderful conversations. I mean, the people in the communities, they deserve that there is care for them. And that would make them a little bit softer instead of this harsh treatment towards each other. It's such a pity, you know, because your country is a beautiful country with beautiful people, beautiful citizens, but they have to become aware of the fact that they are already used as commodities for this high class society. They don't live in a democracy. The democracy is only there for the elite and for the corporations, but for all the other people, it's only like autocracy. It means that they are directed by the elite. They have to become aware of that the freedom that they long for, the freedom that America stands for, is not there for the average people who have to work hard to make a living. And it should be divided better. There should be a social system. And the fact that you don't have that means that politics has abandoned their own people. And that makes it so sad, because people do deserve a politic in the White House, but also in the states that, in the different states that take care of them. That's why you vote for politicians.
Exactly.
And I think what you said earlier is the enemy is not on the outside of the United States, it's inside the United States. The United States has to become an enemy of itself. And that's disturbing. That's very disturbing.
You know, that saying, I don't know if you heard it in your country, but there's a saying that beauty is only skin deep. The United States might look beautiful, but their beauty is only skin deep. You know, it's only what you see in the environment, but it's not what goes on inside those in the environment. And we have people, I know one time someone said they smile in your face and they stab you on the back. And this country is beauty only on the outside, but there are many inside that will do just that. And those are the government leaders. Those are a lot of people in society, lawyers, judges, you know, the very people that, as you mentioned earlier, even law enforcement, that we would normally look to get help from and not end up having them harm us as well. So these things go on in the United States as well. It goes on.
Yeah, I saw yesterday, I don't know exactly, but this week I saw some footage. It was on YouTube about the police who had to, there was during the protest just after George Floyd was killed. There was footage from body cams from police officers who had to, stop the protest. And what they said, it really gave me the shivers that they, you know, said, let's get hunting people. And they made a game out of it, you know, hunting the people in the protest. I don't know if you've seen it.
I have to say one thing. I saw a 17-year-old kid with a machine gun, a white kid, in one of those protests, and he was shooting down left and right, and he got away with it. But you know something, I don't blame that child, and I call him a child. He might have been 17, but I don't blame him at all, because this is the mentality of their parents. That's the kind of love that they want their children to learn. You know, they teach them hatred. They teach them violence. They teach them racism. This is a child who grew up in a home where he was taught all of that. And I'm saying what he must have felt like, not getting the love that a child should get from the parent, but being taught to do evil, to hate, to be racist. You know, that's sad. That is really sad.
Yeah, and I think, you know, when they are in that age, then glorifying violence is so, it makes them so sensitive for that. I mean, you know, I have never seen a gun in my life, only on TV or on photos, but I've never seen a real gun in my life. And that's so different. That's so different from the United States. So this glorifying violence, and a lot has, you know, what I miss in all these issues, this whole web of influence, is common sense, rational thinking. There is so much glorifying mythical, I call it mythical thinking, emotional thinking. While I think, you know, look, when you look at the incarcerated people, when you look with to mass incarceration and the incarcerated people in the prisons, when you look at them with common sense, that you know rationally they are human beings who have committed a crime, they have to do some time, but we all know rationally that we have to give them this time to rehabilitate so they don't end up committing another crime again. That makes sense. That's common sense. I don't need to follow a study to understand this. Mm-hmm. And when you look with your common sense, and you know that the United States has a high rate of people behind bars, so, well, it makes sense, and it's rational thinking to know that something has to be changed. Something is going wrong. Otherwise, you would not have all these big prisons with 2.3 million people behind bars. But people are not thinking, not enough thinking rationally with their common sense. What is happening? Why do we have all these guns? Why are we so scared? What's our fear? Why do we accept everything to be privatized? Why do we accept that we cannot go to hospitals when we need to if we have no money or no job? Why do you accept all these things? Because people are abandoned by politics, but I don't know why, but I miss this common sense, you know. And I think that's another difference with Northern Europe. I see much more rational thinking in the countries here, not so much with all these emotions. Like, these are the bad guys, and they had to, you know, even there are even films on YouTube about prison life in the United States, and that glorifies prison life. It makes it as something, as if it's great inside of the prisons. Do you feel what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's a mythical thinking. You know, it's far from rationality.
You know, they actually, this is what is so ironic. They talk about violence in the United States, and yet the first thing they do is they make movies of it. You know, if it's that violent, why would you want to make movies so it can just, you know, influence someone else to go out and do the same thing? But they make movies of it. And there was last night? I was watching the news the other day when they were asking, they asked this woman about the Marathon bomber who they're trying to bring the death penalty back. And you know what she said, and it made so much sense. She said, it's time to move on. She said, I can't get involved. I can't think about it. I just want it to move on. That's what we need to do, is let it move on. You mentioned other countries. As I said before, I try to help this girl. Her name was Promethea. She was from the Middle East. And she was Egyptian, Persian, and Lebanese. And she used to tell me about the time when she was a kid. She and her siblings used to go to school, but they used to have to duck in between trucks, tankers, and buses on their way to school, and they didn't even know when they got out of school if they were going to have a home to go to. They were so traumatized, and this is not only one little family. This is a lot of people in other countries who have been traumatized by the injustices going on. And they recently said in Afghanistan, when they bombed someplace, and they made a mistake, and they bombed a car or a vehicle with women and children in it. And they said they were deeply sorry. It goes further beyond being sorry, being announcing it. Show it. Demonstrate how sorry you are. Go out there and do something for those people. But this country can do things, and they can get away with it, and they can talk about how sorry they are. Words does not mean anything. Actions does. And we live in a country that there's so much talking. And I'll tell you another thing, when people give speeches in government, they always have their heads down looking at the paper. They can't even speak from the heart. They have to write it down, and they have to speak it from the paper. That's not sincerity. And I just get so disgusted with my own country, as I say. And my own loved one has suffered injustice, and they never look into those things. And I'm a critic. When I say I have no use for a specific lawyer or law firm, and they take it out on my loved one because they say that's what he's saying. It's not him. I'll tell you right now, I'm a critic, and I don't care one way or another how people think of me. But when we have lawyers that stoop so low to try to get back, get revenge, that goes to show you what kind of country we're living in. When we have lawyers that stoop so low to try to get revenge by not helping somebody because they know that person's relative is speaking out against them. We all have our own minds. We all have our own agendas, and we have our own things. So it's not only our government. It's our lawyers, our law firms. It's places like PLS, Prisoner Legal Services, and people like that that take it upon themselves to do injustice while they're looking to the media and everybody else thinking that they're so great because of what they say, not what they do. And these are the things that we have in this country. We have a lot of phony people, phony law firms, a lot of phony judges, a lot of phony officials, a lot of phony COs, a lot of phony law enforcement, a lot of phony government officials. I just sent an email out to one of our politicians in Massachusetts, and I told him I am a fan of his. And he asked me what he could do for my family. It's not always about what you can do. It's about what we see you doing. And I see this politician very much involved in a lot of these issues of criminal justice reform. And I admire him because he's transparent. As a matter of fact, there's two of them. One is very transparent. He's working in the funding issues. And the other one is working in the solitary confinement, restrictive housing, ending life without parole. He's working in a lot of these areas. Those are the politicians I respect because I see what they're doing. I see exactly what they're doing to make changes, to make positive changes. But then you have others are just talking and just out in the media trying to look good where you don't see much action at all.
No, and the media is also owned by corporations. So people see the news that are also in the benefit for corporations and the big money makers. You never see neutral news. So these issues and these these issues are you will not find them in the news because it's in the benefit for the corporations. They show you the news that benefits them, but because it's news, you start to believe it. It's like also with social media. Think about Facebook. It owns also WhatsApp and Twitter and Instagram. So big. It has so much influence. We cannot even imagine how much influence it has on our thinking and our acting. So we don't see the truth. We only see what they want us to see. Exactly. And then based on that, they can form our thoughts. So we think for ourselves, but we only think in the benefits for corporations, and we don't know it. We are not aware of that. And that's a very dangerous development, and it's not only in the United States worldwide, but that's a very dangerous development.
We have too much power in those corporations nowadays, too much power. They control everything.
Yeah. They control everything. They have their tentacles everywhere. And that also accounts for the whole prison business because that is a business. It's a corporation. Incarceration has, in fact, nothing to do with crimes and sentences. It has only to do with keeping prisons full because it's making money. And so bodies, human bodies, are used for making money. And that's what people have to become aware of. People think that, you know, that people who commit a crime go to prison, and yes, that's happening. But behind that, there is this corporal story, and it's really huge. And that's something to evil, yeah.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I only want to say that's the evilness behind it. And that's what you see, you know, that almost everybody who has committed a crime, and then he has to be convicted. He has to go to court. You know, more than 90% never sees a court. more than 90% has to do a plea bargain. That's just doing business. That has nothing to do with judgment, or you know, it has to do with money. So that's where the game already starts.
Plea bargaining.
Yeah, plea bargaining. And what think about the bail bond industry? It's all money. That has nothing to do with judgment or whatever. This has only to do with doing business.
And it's sad because a lot of people end up in prison because they go for the plea bargain, even when they're innocent. You know, getting back to lawyers, some lawyers will say take the plea bargain because if you don't, you might get extra sentence. But if you take a plea bargain when you know you're innocent, you're going to go to prison anyway. At least you have an opportunity to fight if you're innocent. But by taking a plea bargain, it's an admission of guilt, and they don't want to do something like that if they're innocent.
But that's the plea bargain is one of the examples that shows how the system is manipulated. The whole prison system, mass incarceration, is built on a whole structure of manipulation.
Unfortunately, only in America. But, you know, again, no other country has mass incarcerations. And as you mentioned earlier, you know, if they see it, things that are not working, then make a change, try to change it. But when our country is governed by corporations and people that don't even have a clue what the average citizen is going through, what they're living like, how can they make positive changes when they themselves have not been taught? Have not been taught, you know, to have that humane attitude or try to help others. They're just taught that money is the meaning of everything, and money is the root of all evil. So all of these people that can't get enough money, can't get enough power or fame, we may be the ones at the lower end, the average and less fortunate, poverty-stricken individuals in the country. But those people with all the power, and I don't know what joy they're getting from it, because it's like trying to keep up with the Joneses and the Joneses trying to keep up with them. So it's just a matter of how much power one can get. Look at these trips to the moon. It's costing millions of dollars for one or two or three people to go up into space just to get the thrill of being up there for 10 or 11 minutes. That kind of money could feed a small country.
Yeah, and I think that shows, those examples show the disbalance in the world. Whether it's mass incarceration is a disbalance, environmental problems, the pollution, poverty, all these problems, they show disbalance in the world. And I think that's becoming on a dangerous level now, because now we already have done harm that cannot be reversed anymore. We have to, it's admitted now that we are, for the first part of what we did, the harm we did to the world, cannot be undone anymore. Maybe that's the biggest crime that we all together have committed, because that's a crime. So there is this disbalance, what you see on all levels, and that's what we do as human beings.
They talk about climate change, and yet these rockets, these spaceships going up to into space, they're still polluting the air. So where's the concern about climate change?
Yeah, but that's you know, common sense part that's missing, because it is insane what's happening. It is insane, but we are owned by people like those people like Jeff Bezos and all these rich people, Mark Zuckerberg, and you have more of these big, huge corporate people. They own the world and they destroy it, and we are all part of that. We cannot step out of it. It's very difficult to step out of this corporate life. We are all part of. We are all commodity for them, and they know everything about us.
Exactly.
We have no privacy anymore. And you see what's happening, like, you know, what happened in the past with people who are whistleblowers, what was their name from WikiLeaks, Julian Assange, the other one, you know, they are now.
Mark.
Yeah, they have. they have to hide their whole life because otherwise they get killed. So they don't want to see the truth. They don't want... Yeah, I really respect these people, the whistleblowers, but you see what happens with them. So they don't want that structure to be destroyed. They want to keep in power, stay in power.
They remind me of children. Children with the parents give them an allowance of $1 million, while other parents give their children an allowance of 25 cents. And they take this millions of dollars that they can be used and to help others, to help other countries or to help even the poverty stricken in the United States. And they take these millions of dollars, like they're taking their little allowance, and they're going up to the moon. Now, who are they saving up in the moon? I mean, who are they saving up in space? When there's so many people in this country and abroad who are living on the streets, you know, who have nothing. And those people incarcerated that are going through so much abuse and deprivation, provocations, harassment, medical, psychological, spiritual neglect, they're going through all this torment and torture. And what are they doing on the outside? They're living their lives like some, I don't know, I can't understand how anybody, somebody commits a crime. We have an epidemic of mental illnesses, addictions in this country. Someone commits a crime, do something about it, but don't throw them in prison because there's an illness there. You know, open these long-term residential treatment facilities or change these prisons into something that's more humane and has people that really do care and they're not just getting a paycheck. But unfortunately, these people incarcerated, the suicide rates are high. This country is one of the highest, one of the higher ups there when it comes to human rights violations. The people in this country are cold-hearted. The government is careless and could care less about their people and incarcerated. The prison system, they have so many empty cells that they're leaving just to bring in more people instead of emptying these cells out whenever they can. There's 90-year-old people in prison that could be out, 84-year-old people that could be out. There's wrongfully convicted that could be, their cases could be looked at in more in depth. There are people who have been isolated in prison for 25 years and more who committed one mistake in their life. Some of them severely depressed at the time. Some of them self-protection. You know, there's so many reasons why so many people are in prison, and all they can look at is if they're black, brown, red, or beige, keep them in there. You know, if they don't look right to me, keep them in there. If they harm somebody I know, keep them in there. It's not about looking at their cases and deciding, should this person be getting a second chance or should this person be freed? They don't look at these things. And there's a lot of lawyers out there, including ACLU and NAACP, that could be doing more out there too. But what they want is the money, and they find the money is where the immigration issues are, where the children issues are, education issues. They're getting away from the real, real causes of mass incarceration, and that is sad.
Yeah, it is sad, Leona. But as I said, mass incarceration is embedded in a lot of other social, political, and economic issues. And that's why reform is a long way to go.
Joe Biden, the president now, that his focus has been on getting rid of this coronavirus. Unfortunately, he's running up against resistance in even that area, because there are so many people that don't want the vaccine, and there's so many who don't want their children to get it. So move on. There are so many other issues he needs to deal with. So take it this way and let those people who are vaccinated go to school, go to work, do what they have to do. 1 week, the following week, let those people who don't want to be vaccinated and their children, let them go the following week. Reverse it, alternate the days or the weeks or the times or whatever, and move on to other issues that need to be addressed. And one of them is criminal justice. It needs to be reformed. Education, these kids can go to school. All they need to do is work out alternatives to when the vaccinated will go, when the unvaccinated will go. It's that simple, but they're making such a big issue of it. They need to work on all these other issues. Right now with the infrastructure, they're talking about the 2022, the budget, And here they're getting resistance from two of their own party members, who I believe probably are with the other side. Just like we have advocates, we have politicians, we have a lot of people who infiltrate themselves into a group, not because they're part of that group, but because they want to try to get information or they want to try to prevent that group from doing something positive. These are the things that happen in the United States of America, and more people need to be aware of that as well.
Yeah, I think the social element is missing. It has become a very right, as the opposite of left, political right country, and the left side has been vanished, I think.
There are so many coalitions in this country too, working on different things when they need to work on the primary ones. But we have a country that's so divided, not only between politics, but also by states. Every state in the United States have people that have the same problems, whether in the prisons or outside the prisons. The same problems are always there, but the solutions are always different. Every state operates differently. That, too, is a reason for a dysfunctional country. I don't understand why every state has to be different.
They are a little bit like different countries.
It doesn't make sense. And I'm sure if it doesn't make sense to me, a citizen of the United States for life, then I'm sure it doesn't make sense to a lot of people in other countries. When their countries are run so, it seems like their countries are run so effectively, there may be other countries that are less wealthy. There may be poverty-stricken countries. But even then, their governments have run the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is difficult. Leona, I thought we had 1 hour.
Oh, we're running over.
Because I do have a meeting with an incarcerated man here in the Netherlands by Skype, not Skype, it's by the prison phone. In 10 minutes, and
You want to give your information, Mariam, and then we can close from now?
Yes, my website is www.deeperjustice.com. It might be interesting to read more about Deeper Justice, I have some interesting essays written. I also have my email, mariamjacobs67@gmail.com. I am on Facebook. I am with my own name, and I have a Facebook page called Deeper Justice. I'm also on Instagram, and I am on LinkedIn. And my book is coming out in the beginning of next year, and it's called... oh my goodness. I'm still thinking about my coming appointment with the incarcerated man. My book is Lost in the System. It's a deconstruction or analyze about the foundation, the ground structure of mass incarceration. And it contains a lot of subjects, what we're talking about here. But then on a deeper level.
Well, Mariam, it was great having you, as always, on with us. I am so sorry that I ran you over your time, and I look forward to Wednesday. And audience, we are going to be ending this episode. Once again, I thank Mariam Jacobs for being on with us. I thank you for your insight into all of these things that are going on, and good luck with your meeting.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
See you next week. You're welcome. Bye-bye.